This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's start off with this douchebag that threw coffee on a nine-month-old. I just showed the pictures to the guys about of what the baby looked like afterwards. I've never, I don't want to say never, but this is up there with the most I've ever wanted to punch somebody in the face. This story, a man suspected of pouring hot coffee on a nine-month-old baby in Brisbane Park has been identified as 33-year-old Chinese national.
Probably Australia?
The way that the story is told, I think it happened in Australia, and then he flew to another country shortly after that. Luca was with his mom in Hanlon Park on August 27th when a man who the family had never met poured hot coffee on the baby before taking off and fleeing.
Wow.
The tot was taken to the hospital with serious burns and has since been released, but will have lifelong injuries as a result. The suspected attacker has now been identified as Chinese media as 33-year-old Chinese national. They won't give out his name. Who was in Australia on a student visa. The man drove to New South Wales the day after the alleged attack and fled from the Sydney airport on August 31st. I mean, look, the baby looks like they've got its face blurred out, but it looks like a mummy covered up in how much the coffee
I can't
burned
imagine
him.
That.
And then I showed the pictures of some of the burns on this baby. It's just, who does this, man?
It's one of the worst experiences of my life, memories. Because I had a lot of those, unfortunately. But I had one where a woman sat her own, in a tub of scalding water.
For what?
To punish it because it wouldn't stop crying.
That's going to help.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to just, throttle somebody, grab them by the neck. Like, how could you do this to your own child?
It's just disgusting, man. Speaking of disgusting, Will Smith. This is funny, though. This is something I think Rob can appreciate. He had a fart on the set of Men in Black that led to a three-hour crew evacuation. So this was brought up on a podcast. It was Kelly Ripa's podcast where she was talking to director Barry Sonnenfeld, and he told the story. He said Smith and co-star Tommy Lee Jones were in a hermetically sealed and locked into a tight space to film this scene, to which the back and forth between the two is my favorite part. To which Will just said, "Oh my God, oh Jesus, I'm so sorry, Tommy. So sorry, Baz. Just get the ladder." And you hear Tommy saying, "That's fine, Will. No worries, Will. Don't worry, Will." And then the stench set in and everyone had to be evacuated.
Wow.
They said it was so bad, nobody wanted to go in there. And like they said, he's a lovely guy. He just farts. And basically Barry Sonnenfeld said, there are people who are just farters. Like that's just what the average human being.
Anybody come to mind?
The average human being farts 14 times
Gina.
A day. Oh, yeah, of course. Gina. No, look, there's a couple of us in here. I've had my moments. I told you guys that. It was my wife's birthday, and we went to the Macaroni Grill with her family. It was the first time meeting her family and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
I always order chicken marsala. It's my favorite thing whenever I go to an Italian restaurant. If it's on the menu, I'm going to try yours.
Right.
They brought it out. It had. I thought it was roasted like pearl onions. It was roasted cloves of garlic. I ate about 30 of them. To which I passed gas trying to get into my wife's car, and it just hotboxed everything. And she got in. I went, oh my God. And I hadn't farted in front of her before. This was like the...
You're kidding.
I have a rule that I can't fart in front of a woman unless I'm comfortable enough to tell her I love her. That's my rule.
Yeah, I get it.
See, it's kind of like it matches up with... Yeah, Rob doesn't care. No, he must love everybody. Or hate everybody, I guess.
You want to know me, you got to know me.
Yeah. But the point of this is she got in the car and she started dry heaving. And when we got home, she was getting changed and then I farted under the covers and she jumped in the bed and that smell hit her and she just started throwing up.
Dutch oven?
It wasn't even quite a Dutch oven yet. It was just like she lifted up the sheets and went, oh my God. And it was that bad. And that's still probably not the worst gas I've ever had.
Wow.
I know Rob's had some paint peelers in here.
Yes.
And it's not fair because we are in a box, so you do get hot boxed in here.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens at the beginning of a segment, you have nowhere to go. So
nothing was like the COVID farts, though.
Oh, God. Some real
Nothing was like the COVID farts.
I gotta
the COVID farts made the room warm.
I got to say, the medicine farts are the ones that get me when you're on like a new medicine and it upsets your stomach. But everything upsets my stomach, so it doesn't matter.
Baby.
Shit, you don't know.
I know you're a baby.
Let's talk about lazy people. I always laughed at, look, I think the television remote was one of the greatest inventions because you're constantly going to change it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, the television remote was me.
Yes,
exactly. Get up and my dad would yell when we were upstairs, like, Jerry, come here, I need you. And I'm running down, what do you need, Dad? Can you grab that remote right there?
Are you kidding?
I swear to God, my brother would tell you the same thing. He did it all the time. But this is something where... A Minnesota inventor invented a poop copter. It scoops up dog poop after scanning it from the sky. The inventor said it's full of crap, which is...
Drone?
It's a drone that goes down and picks up crap. I don't know how big the thing can be and how much it can hold, because, like, it is. It's just a drone that picks up poo. To which I said, how much does that thing cost, and how lazy do you have to be to buy it? When you can just go pick it up yourself.
Well, he might not have it for himself. He may have it for his neighborhood.
That's what I think.
Because people don't clean up after their dogs.
That's okay.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's more because he's tired of people not cleaning up after their dogs.
That might be right. But you know some lazy ass is going to buy this.
For themselves,
The first time I laughed was when a fan had a remote. Like, I have a remote for the fan in our room.
Yeah.
And most people do now.
Ceiling fans have them.
Yeah, but they didn't have them initially. You just had to get up and pull the cord, which seems like a very easy thing to do.
I have them for my lights in the house.
We all have them now. But back then, I'm going, man, how lazy we have to be. Just get up and turn the lights off. And then now, you think I'm getting my ass out of bed? Click, click. Click, click. It's like everything.
You would have hated my child, because you had to actually get up out of the chair and go change the TV. With a dial.
Yeah, well, I had to do that as a kid, too. Because we had one of those big-ass TVs where I don't know how they got it in the house. It might still be in the old house we lived in.
Can't get it out.
It was just so big.
They're
and
all
heavy.
Big.
And then now, like, my dad would make us go up, and we'd have to turn the little knob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting enough. But a poop copter, if that interests you, you can go get one. That's your World of Stupid.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057 is the number. Barbershop topic of the day. At 7:30, but on the other side, Lamar Jackson speaks on Mark Andrews' lack of targets. Says he's being a team player. Do you agree with Lamar? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
When he's doing his role, you know, sometimes you might not get the ball, you know, but we got all these great guys on our offense that's helping us win games, including Mark. Mark is playing a huge role right now for us, just doing what he's doing, you know, blocking, running routes, running guys out. And find the other guys to be open. He's just been a team player right now.
Lamar is in the damn if you don't position right there.
Yeah.
Does he advocate for his tight end, his leading receiver, his security blanket in the first part of his career to have more targets? Or does he say he's a team player by not getting more targets? Because Lamar being a team player is different from your tight end or your receiver being a team player. It's a different situation. Lamar touches the ball every play. If I'm Mark Andrews, I don't know how I feel about that soundbite. I don't know how I feel about it.
I mean, look, I think you understand, though, too. He's got to you're asked something, you got to answer something.
Damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Yeah, he's probably sidestepping it just well enough to where it doesn't mean anything. And I'm sure these guys talk behind the scenes as well. It's strange, though, to look at a guy that was considered a top three tight end in the league. And as I was joking the other day, I said, you know, when I played flag football and they stopped throwing the ball to me, I said, I'm too cute to not get any looks. And that's how Mark Andrews should feel, man. Like, he's too good of a player to not get any looks.
I agree.
But when you're winning, how do you complain about it? And again, now they've won two in a row. The easy time to complain was when you were 0-2, and they come out in the next game and he plays 20-some snaps, 23 snaps. They ran the football, you know, down the Cowboys' throat. So, again, they're not going to tell us anything if something's lingering from the car accident, if there's something from the offseason. But it doesn't look like it when he's out there. He looks fine.
It does not at all. And listen, he runs routes crisp. You know, he had the drop the other day, but I attribute that more to the lack of targets. He caught it a little upfield, trying to make a play. He sees Isaiah Likely making plays. You know what I mean? Hurdling over defenders. Mm. So, you know, it's the older guy. He's not old, but it's the older guy feeling as if he has to do the same thing that the younger guy's doing. I attribute it to that. You know me. I'm tough on a guy who drops the ball. And, but I looked at – but everything is its own individual evaluation.
I'm looking more at targets, I mean, than the drug. He's likely been targeted twice as often. And it's just unusual to have see Mark Andrews get 9 targets this year. It's week 5 coming up.
It is strange. Like, you're talking about a guy that's capable. I mean, he led all tight ends, what was it, 2 years ago in receiving? More than Travis Kelce, more than everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at his numbers, and it's not like he had fallen off. He's like, there was the ongoing joke that Lamar would drop back the pass and say, where's Mark Andrews? Yep. Let me just throw it up there. He'll find it. You know, and a couple of times that's worked out. But as he's evolving as a quarterback, you're going to see the growth there. And that's the one thing I've agreed with Harbaugh. It's nice to see him spread the ball out because it does make it more difficult to stop you. You know, when teams come in and it's like, hey, we got Jalen Ramsey. Who are we putting him on? You know, or we've got Patrick Surtain Jr. Who are we putting him on? Who he shut down every single receiver he's faced.
Yeah.
Like, when you come to face the Ravens, you don't have a guy particularly that you're going to put him on. I think you're most concerned about the run game. But that's why we always ask, like, why isn't the passing game so much better if you're going to get one-on-ones on the outside because of your run game?
Now, let me make this crystal clear, guys. I'm not suggesting that Isaiah Likely get fewer targets. I'm not. Hell, I want to have more targets than he has. I'm just suggesting that Mark Andrews needs more as well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's... In philosophy, Jeremy, they may both be out there on the field together, but it's still the either-or offense.
Yes.
You don't know how to use both. It's still the either-or offense.
And it is problematic, too, because like I look at these other teams, and I know the Bills, I don't think they have the same level of talent that the Ravens have. I think Dalton Kincaid's phenomenal. But Kincaid and I just blanked on the other, Dawson Knox.
There's levels to this.
Yeah, like when you look at what Isaiah Likely's capable of doing and what Mark Andrews has already been, that's why I've said, like, with all due respect, I think the writing's kind of on the wall that this team's going to have some cap casualties at the end of the year. They're going to have to restructure some contracts. That it wouldn't surprise me if Mark Andrews was one of those.
And I've said it before, and I agree with you on that, but Ed, wouldn't it be a shame if Mark Andrews goes after this year and you look back at what you could have had and you didn't use it? You have probably... Yeah. No, you have the most dynamic tight end duel in the National Football League, and you can't figure out how to use them both.
I mean, that's the problem. You're not having the debate about, is he better than Kelce or, you know, Kittle or whatever it may be. You got two outstanding tight ends, and Likely he's a full service tight end too. It's not just the fact he's, you know, he's leading the team in receptions right now. He can block. Like, which is part of a tight end's job. Maybe not a wide receiver, but that is a tight end's, you know, something they have to do. Pretty cool, honestly. Really cool.
You know, and the other part of this is, as you start looking at the offense, it does get kind of hard to, if you're going to throw whatever it was in the last game, 19 passes, or 18, whatever it was, 3 incomplete passes. One of them was the drop by Andrews. How do you get more throws in there? You're not always going to have games where you jump out to a lead like you did in this one, and you're running all over them. But at some point, you're going to need to drive down that field for a win, and you can't tell me that you're not thinking that Mark Andrews should be involved in that drive.
Jeremy, what if you just played pepper with these two?
Mm-hmm.
Let me hit Likely. Let me hit Andrews. Man, you've got the defenders with their heads on a swivel because now that you're playing pepper with them, Zay Flowers is slipping beyond them.
You got on your heels.
No, he's running underneath them.
But that's the problem. If you play Pepper with these two guys,
well,
then you may have between them, you may have 100 yards between them. Well, and then all of a sudden you hit Zay over the middle for 50. In one play, you got half of what you have with those two combined. I just wish someone would wake up and understand. And again, I'm not saying they did it wrong leading up to this because they're winning. But the first two games, I think you could attribute it to that. I think when those leads were given up, Ed, is because you put your foot on the brake and you didn't know how to play Pepper with these two guys.
Yeah. They definitely, I hate to say panic, but maybe. It's like, well, the thing is, if they're not winning or if they don't fit, they change what they're doing.
Yeah. Although,
one of the best byproducts, is, and it's odd, Justice Hill is killing it. Do you know, I just did some math here. He's on pace, and I hate doing this because you never know what happens during a season. It's not the same.
It's fun, though.
He's on pace for 684 yards of yak. CeeDee Lamb led the NFL last year with 680. He would be number one over CeeDee Lamb, over Amon-Ra St. Brown, over Tyreek Hill. That's the top from last year. Justice Hill would be leading the league.
You know what it makes me think is, have they misused him leading up to this? If he, like,
yeah,
not getting him in this role more and more. And again, like, there's one ball.
Well, you saw more in him than I saw in him. What you saw in him is what he's doing now.
Yeah.
So if you saw it, why didn't they?
Yeah, well, and again, like, I was going to bring up the fact that we've talked about easier passes, things to set up and get guys involved in the game. And you usually see it with running back screens, a wide receiver screen right off the line. One of my favorite plays, I've always called them pick and pops, but the tight end screen where you set him up, he chips a guy, he turns, you've got a lane, you toss him the ball, your blockers leak out in front. It's a safe play that almost always goes for positive yards as long as you can get the ball to your tight end.
By the way, listeners, it's great to see the relationship between our two teams. Because I didn't have in-game responsibility, I had a seat. And you know who was sitting in my row in the front row?
Who?
DeCosta. Eric DeCosta and his wife.
I took a guess.
Eric DeCosta and his wife. And they were into the game, man. Yep. I mean, it's just great to see the relationship between...
Those two are awesome.
The two. Yeah, oh, yeah. I told you, they sent flowers to my mom's viewing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you said it best. Those two are absolutely awesome.
They just are.
410-583-1057 is the number. Shovels at 8:15. Hey, Joe, throwing shovels. I don't really have a shovel. I really have a story. Is that within bounds?
Well, then give Rob the shovel for not getting one ready.
Okay, you can do that. Give me the shovel. There you go.
Okay.
But on the other side is our barbershop topic of the day. How would you describe the O's 2024 season? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan.
There's just like a lot of high character guys in this locker room. You guys have been around, and you don't know what's going to happen, and that's a tough thing because these are like lifetime friends, and there's nothing better than coming to the field every day and playing ball with them.
It's Adley Rutschman after the game. Very, very somber clubhouse after the game.
What was it like?
Well, when we got in, when Tesla opened up for us to come in, you saw the players actually going by each other's locker, shaking hands, mostly hugging. You saw Burns take his lap around. Santander kind of stayed in his locker because everybody came over to him.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it, I talked to him for a while, and he expressed how much he wants to come back. And no cameras rolling.
Yeah.
No microphone. to tell him we want him back?
It was, I said, I hope to see you back next year. And I just thought it was going to be okay, we'll shake my hand. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. No. When I reached to shake his hand, he pulled me in. And he went expressing how much he wanted to come back here. Unfinished business. It was very Gunner looked like it was probably one of the biggest disappointments of his young life. Honestly, yeah.
He's extraordinarily competitive. I mean, they're all competitive.
He looked broken though.
Yeah, I can. I bet
he looked broken.
You look at these guys and you say they're all competitive. That's why they are where they are. But he's like, you see him when if he gets a called strike three, it's like the end of the world.
Mountcastle looked like he saw a ghost. Seriously, looked like he just saw a ghost. Like the guys were. And I asked, who was it? Was it, I can't remember, it was Adley or Gunner. I asked one of them, was it more disappointing this year than last? And she was more disappointing.
Better. I mean, I think they had a
the
better
record suggested it weren't better, but the team was better.
Well, there's no 100-win teams this year. It was a different year, but I think the roster was better.
Well, what would they do if they didn't have all the injuries?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You know, so it was surreal. It took me back to, you know, my last year in high school playing sports, last year in college. But when you know it's over.
Last time.
They looked as if that was their last time. And you know it's not.
Yeah.
But they had that look on their face. I think, which for me, I love this. Part of me loved to see that, Jeremy, because it told me they now cherished how hard it is to get there.
Yeah.
Now, I know the young players, if you're Jackson Holiday, if you're Adley Rutschman, if you're Gunner, if you're Colton Cowser, you don't know what the real struggle was. You heard about it. You saw it because you were in the minors. But on this level, you don't really know what it is. Last night, I think maybe if they didn't have it before, they'll come back next year with a sense of urgency. Because they look last night, they looked like, man, this was tough.
You hope. I see a lot of fans taking their proverbial victory laps. I told you this was going to happen. Wow, you told us the one team that wasn't going to win the World Series. Tell us the one that's going to win it, because that's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's this thing that somebody, who was the caller we had earlier, said they need to go out in the offseason and get a starting pitcher and another hitter. And it's
about to lose, though.
You're about to lose a starting pitcher and the guy that batted cleanup or third for you for most of the year.
Yeah.
There is a chance that, like, we've talked about it, that Santander comes back. But when you look at the model that they've built, this was supposed to be Santander's final year, Kierstead stepping in, and then you're moving in this direction. But
I don't think either one of us, the four of us, is comfortable with Kierstead right now stepping in for Santander. And it's not because of Kierstead.
Yeah.
It's because Santander's shoes got a little bigger during the season.
Yeah.
I mean, the power numbers were there. You mentioned the OPS and obviously what they're looking at. If you watch any other baseball games, I know a lot of people just zone in on the Orioles. Go look at when they list they used to list the lineup and then the batting averages are next to it.
Now they list OPS.
They list OPS all the time.
Well, it's going to change.
In Toronto, they don't list the batting average at all.
Really?
I think it was Toronto or Minnesota.
On their scoreboard, you mean?
Yeah. It's just OPS.
I think that's going to, I mean, obviously, I'm, you know, Captain Obvious here. That's the way it's going to be in the future.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, Well, I think you're being Captain Obvious to those of us who embraced it. You're not being Captain Obvious to those who don't embrace it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We embraced it a long time ago.
But you mentioned guys like Jackson Holiday. He's got a ton of time to go win a ring. As the, you know, Gunner and Adley. But what guys like McCann, who was with the Tigers, the White Sox, the Mets, when none of them were good? He's 34 years old. How many years does he have left to do this?
I don't know how many years he has left here.
Right.
I don't know if he'll be back next year. I don't know.
Especially if Basayo's knocking on the door.
Yep.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm not saying James McCann won't be back. I'm just saying I don't know if he'll be back.
Man, I still go back to game one. How the hell are you pinch hitting Rivera for James McCann at that point in time? And I don't even care if Rivera's numbers were a little bit better. That was your starting catcher.
By the way, he's a free agent.
McCann?
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, do you re-sign James McCann?
He had a second career in the UFC or something. It's a tough man.
Well, again, like, we're going to have to pay close attention, as we always do, to the offseason, because now they should be more active in free agency and not doing the dented can theories I've talked about.
Yeah.
Is just taking someone that's dinged up, that got hurt last year or had a down year. Like, we've always talked about the pitchers they went after, the Jordan Lyles, the Kyle Gibsons. Mm-hmm. No more.
No.
You're not a team that needs to do that anymore.
We don't want that. By the way, Ed, I don't know if you remember back in April. when somebody was barking at James McCann when he was behind the plate, I said there are three men on his team that I would not
mess
with.
I remember.
Ryan O'Hearn,
yeah.
Anthony Santander, and James McCann.
Yeah.
Those are the three dudes on that team that if I'm in a fight and I'm with one of them, we all right. We good over here.
Take the Irish guys. It's a good bet.
O'Hearn, McCann, and Santander. Those three, I think they would, you know, I would bet on either one of those three with the other two guys with the same reaction to those same situations. Yep. 410-583-1057 is the number. Jeremy, you asked, and Sean in Baltimore has an answer. Sean, who's going to win the World Series?
Who will win it?
Yeah.
The Dodgers, man.
Well, I get $500 from Rob. Thanks, man. That's awesome.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Dodgers aren't getting past the Padres. So, will they have a World Series consolation? Got losers bracket?
Man. They cruising, man. Hey, Rob. I'm out here Uber, and my customer said, what you say, boss?
No, I said I'm a friend request on Facebook. You never accepted it.
What's up with that, Rob? You made him a follower, man.
Come on, man. Accept that man's friend request.
Send me a friend. Yeah. Hey, Sean. Why you out here putting my business on the street, Sean?
Hey,
Sean,
man,
why you doing? That's a violation, Sean. What part of Baltimore you from?
The West, baby. Come on, man.
You ain't from. We putting you out of West Baltimore. What part of West Baltimore?
Man, don't do that. Hey, Rob, I'm just trying to help the customer serve, you know?
Hold on. What screen is you on? What screen?
You'll get to say that.
Let me get this straight. He caught a stray from the back of an Uber just now.
Can I say something, too, about the friend request? Like, you have a maximum amount of people that you can accept.
Yeah. And a max. And we didn't know that. I didn't want to say it.
Dude.
He wanted me to say it, because he actually whispered in my ear. He goes, tell him I got too many friends. I can't add any more on. That's what he said.
And, you know, and you can eliminate them if you want. Eliminate somebody and pick somebody up, but, you know.
Can I tell you the hardest part? Like, have you gone through there and realized when you start to go through your friends list and it tells you to kind of, you'll see some of the Facebook pages that are no longer in use. Their picture will go away. But it's really surreal when you start going through and you start seeing the people that you knew that had passed away.
I went through that last night.
How
would you describe the O's 2024 season? I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Our barbershop topic of the day. How will you describe the O's 2024 season? Let's get right out to these phone lines. Bel Air, Mark. What's up, Mark? Mark?
Hello?
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing? To me, it was a complete and utter failure. You went out and you got Corbin Burns, which on a one-year rental deal, pretty much. You made a deal at the deadline. You gave up a top 100 prospect for a reclamation project.
Who's the top 100 prospect?
Connor Norby for Trevor Rogers.
I mean, but look, we got to keep getting in this with Stowers and Norby because everybody knows their name. Norby's looked good in Miami so far, and I hope they both do well. But the fact is, where was Norby playing here?
I'm not saying you don't trade him, but you got to get more for him.
Yeah. Than a guy under contract for 2.5 years? We don't know what Trevor Rogers is going to be yet.
I think, Mark, what you're saying is if you're going to trade him, you want people that's going to help us now, not in the future.
Right. We know what Trevor Rogers has been for the last 2.5 years. He's been trash. You know, he was a guy that came up, was an all-star, was in the Rookie of the Year conversation, you know, because he was throwing with high velocity. Where did that velocity go for the last 2 years? He's a reclamation project. Whatever is wrong with him needs to be fixed. That's why he's in AAA. You don't give up a top 100 prospect for that.
I disagree with this because we can sit here and look at teams that gave up even more than top 100 prospects for reclamations or a half a season rental or whatever it may be.
You traded an infielder who you have surplus of who was in the minors for a pitcher. Well, yes, he's in the minors, but it's not like you traded an infielder who was an everyday part of your roster. I disagree with him. I just wanted to get clarity on what he was trying to say.
Yeah, and that's look. I'm not telling people that they're wrong for not wanting Trevor Rogers or wanting to allocate Connor Norby elsewhere, but who else was taking Connor Norby for something? Like, what were the pitchers? Look at the pitchers that got traded at the deadline. Okay, so you weren't people that keep going. Well, you should have offered Norby and Holiday for Tarik Skubal. No, that's not getting it done. You had to offer two or Maceo. Even three of those guys.
Maceo let me in.
Yeah, and Maceo, Mayo, whoever it was going to be, you're going to have to throw those guys in. And look, and I know when we get down the line and you start to see the way Jackson Holiday, Kobe Mayo, and Maceo are playing, you're going to be like, damn, I'm glad we didn't trade those guys. That's what I believe.
Let's go to Ellicott City and get Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. Doing good, man. I'm kind of happy the rain stopped so I can get back to pouring some concrete and make some money, to be honest with you. Because those Orioles definitely dropped that bag last night. Man. But I give Hyder a ton of credit. He's a very patient manager. He's went through the worst of the worst that he was given when he was hired. He's been patient with this young little group of friends that Mike Elias has put together. But disappointing season for sure, especially considering injuries, still playing very well with who we had. You really felt like we had it in some regard. I took no pride in saying we were out of gas. Believe me, fellas, I love my O's too. But I think it's just time to break up the little friend squad, get players that truly can just focus on the game. And
so you think their friendship makes them not focus on the game?
That's not for me, Rob. That's all I'm saying, brother. Like, I'm here for pros.
Ripken and Murray were friends. Dempsey and Palmer were friends. They're when you come up together, you're friends. I mean, I don't know of a team. The only team that I know that weren't friends were the early 70s Oakland A's. It was a dysfunctional team. But for the most part, these guys came up together. You talk to these veterans that played 30 years ago. They're friends. They still contact one another. I don't get how being friends messes with you.
I actually like the idea of the guys coming up in the organization together and having a feel for one another you feel comfortable going to somebody and saying something.
Right? Yeah, exactly. They do. They hold one another accountable.
Yeah.
Dude, trust me. They hold one another accountable. Let's go to Zach in Pikesville. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys.
Morning to you.
Yes, sir. So, epic season. I mean, ended disappointing, but for the future, you know, it looked bright for the most part.
So you still feel good about the future?
Yeah, I do agree that they might have to break up the squad a little bit. We need some more, like another veteran bat at least, maybe another veteran in the locker room.
So you feel they need to break it up out of necessity, not because they're friends?
Correct, because we still look a little immature out there.
That's fine, that's fine.
It's like every time we get a guy back, it's like, man, he's still a young guy. I don't know if his mental's together. We know he got the talent, but like for certain guys like Kerstad, I'm like, damn, man, I know he's good, but we need another veteran back right now that's like got some experience in the playoffs, you know. So good season, though, for the most part.
Hey, thanks a lot, Zach. Appreciate it, man.
You know, the other part of this is funny. Like when we were talking about the trade deadline, we all had ideas of guys we didn't want to move.
Right.
Weren't we all on Kierstead that we didn't want to trade him because we wanted to see more from him with the lefty power that he had in the stadium?
Yeah.
And then obviously, what gets hit in the head, things change. Santander's taken off, so all of a sudden you're looking at him going, okay, well, where's he going to play? Where are you going to put him?
Yeah, well, that was the issue. I mean, they're great, good players, but they have no room here for these guys.
Julian in West Baltimore. Julian, what's going on, man?
Yeah, how you doing, fellas?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I think it was a good experience for the guys. You know, I think the Orioles still have one of the best teams out there, but they just need to figure it out in the postseason. I don't know if that was choking or pitching at his best. And the players just like, even when they were coming to the plate, they just like look worried. Everybody's striking out. I don't know, man. It just looked like pitching at his best to me.
Everybody trying to hit a 5-run homer coming up. And look, you only needed a singular run to keep this game going in both games.
Is pressing choking?
And look, I think they go hand in hand, kind of. It's kind of like.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think pressing is, I know I can do it and I'm trying too much. Choking is, I'm afraid to.
It's too big for me.
Yeah.
This is too big.
The reason I say it's kind of the same thing is that either way, you're falling into the vat of losing. You know,
right?
It's not going well.
Yeah, because I think they're more pressing than choking.
Again, but that's the problem with this is everybody can say what they want. Oh, they're choking. Oh, they're pressing. Because why? Because it comes back negative. The finality of it is they're no longer in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So there's your scapegoat, right? Oh no, we got to put it on Brandon Hyde. No, Mike Elias, it's your fault. Can't believe you didn't trade for Tarik Skubal. Would have hit that 3-run homer we needed.
I still think the outcome's the same, but they're different. like pressing is like you feel like you have to carry the team. You have to do something. But choking, it's like you're shaken by the size of the task, or the lights are too bright, or whatever it is, and something that was ordinarily easy for you, like a pass right in your hands that you dropped.
Shaken by the size of the task.
You know all about choking.
But all of that, like all those things included, like how do you decipher which one's which? It's your opinion on which one's which.
Well, I think your comment proved our point.
What?
You said they try to hit that 5-run home run.
Yeah.
That's pressing.
Okay. But it still comes into choking as well, because you're not, like, again, we could sit here and say that and that's how we feel. And if you asked me which one it was, I would sit here and say pressing. But again, we don't know.
I'm going to choke him while I'm doing it. Press me. So we can do both.
Press his carotid artery.
You can keep choking me. I might finish.
You like that?
Shovels at 8:15. But on the other side, what's trending? Nearly every World Wild Card Series since 2022 has ended in a sweep. Nearly all of them. Are you still a fan of the format? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.